And welcome back. Cybersecurity is an issue that has become increasingly annoying as hackers have gotten into sensitive information on the national and local levels. We'll be talking about that with two airmen from Scott Air Force Base and about efforts to promote cybersecurity education through their organization, the Military Cyber Professionals Association, the MCPA. Lieutenant Paul Jordan is president of the St. Louis chapter. Sergeant Roy, is it Roy or Ray?
Raymond, sir.
Raymond, I'm sorry. Raymond Evans is the event coordinator for the association. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for being with us. Let's talk, and I'll start with you, Lieutenant, if I may, with regard to the organization. What exactly is it here to do?
Great. So that's a good question. So the Military Cyber Professionals Association, the mission is to develop the military cyber profession. And one of the ways that we're doing that is to invest in the nation's future through STEM outreach. So we're underneath a national chapter or a national organization. We're a local chapter. And part of our mission is that, you know, there isn't really a cyber profession. You know, it's not something that people recognize as a profession. And so part of developing that is building into the pipeline training to produce people, professionals within the profession, if you will. I'm using that word a lot.
That's all right. Well, once you've developed them, what do they do? Are they going to be the ones then to track down hackers, that sort of thing? Is it as basic as that?
It could be anything from tracking down hackers to identifying vulnerabilities in the system to educating individuals in various organizations on how to prevent basic vulnerabilities.
Is it easily preventable?
Yes.
Are they easily preventable?
Many of the things that are seen in the cybersecurity realm all over the world, every facet of our lives, from big corporations to governments down to home users, what we see mainly is user error. Basic education can help change that immensely, can help protect people in more ways than they think that they can protect themselves in.
But Paul, what is basic education? It is simply reminding people to change passwords and that sort of thing?
Right. So that's kind of what we believe, and that's what we're trying to do with this event. So at a basic level, if you understand how to think like an attacker, then your chances of being able to defend an attack greatly increase. So what this event is going to do is going to teach you, for example, we'll teach you how to break a password, a very short one. And so then the next time you go to make a password, you might think twice about making it short because you'll have that taut moment and you'll think, well, I broke this in 15 seconds last time, so maybe I'll have a longer password this time.
Yeah. Before you get ahead of ourselves, you mentioned the event. What is the event?
So we're having what's called a Capture the Flag event this weekend, and people inside the community might be familiar with that. But outside, Capture the Flag, people envision running across a park with a flag. So what we are going to do is expose a range of vulnerable computers to competitors. They will then break into these computers with some assistance from our mentors on site, a hint system that we've built, and obtain the flags that are hidden on these machines. Those flags will be worth points, and the team with the most amount of points at the end will win, but everybody will learn something.
But it sounds like the people that are breaking into the machines are hackers. These are the people you want to avoid, right?
Well, yes and no. There's three different types of hackers that exist in the world. There's white hat hackers, gray hat hackers, and black hats. Black hats are generally the people that you want to try to avoid. They're people who are doing things for malicious and nefarious purposes. Gray hats kind of sit on that line. They could do good things. They could do bad things. It all depends on who pays them more. And then there's the white hat hackers. Those are the people we're trying to foster and develop. The white hat hackers are the people who go into companies, identify vulnerabilities, teach people basic cybersecurity, help fix systems, and help harden their strength, harden their systems, and create defense in depth for them. So using our STEM outreach and using this event, we're trying to foster the environment of white hats.
Yeah. Just to stop at the STEM outreach part of this for just a moment, STEM is an issue that we've science, technology, engineering, and math, things that we've talked about a lot on this program because this country is so far behind in so many different ways. How do you reach out in order to attract people to these disciplines? That is part of what you're talking about.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And so we believe kind of like what we saw back during the Cold War, you know, where it was taught K-12. You know, if you see the flash off in the distance, get under your desks. It's same kind of thing. You know, we teach our kids to look both ways before they cross the street. We teach our kids to, you know, not talk to strangers. why aren't we teaching them proper password hygiene and not to talk to strangers on the internet and what a stranger on the internet actually is? So we believe that, you know, you get it in early and you make it fun through games like a CTF, and then you hopefully grab their attention early on, and we can.
If this is so preventable, then why is it so much a part of our lives today? I mean, it's coming at us as a country from all over the world, and we had a problem with a local grocery chain, and we had a problem with the government, Office of Personnel Management or whatever it was. You know, 21 million people had their information hijacked.
And there's all the ones that you don't hear about.
Right.
Right. So it's something that we see in the government a lot. All of our budgets are getting slashed, and we do things to cut costs. We automate a lot of processes with computers. They're very good at thinking very quickly.
Being the hackers.
The computers.
The computers.
Right.
Oh.
So if we automate all these processes and we say, oh, yay, we saved all the money, and then we cut those positions, we cut the ways that we used to do those, and we kind of forget how we used to do things before computers, how do we remove the computers now? How do we go back? And there's not an easy way to answer that question. It's kind of hard to go back. So what we can do is work on raising awareness and getting people up to the point where they understand what they're doing so they can protect themselves.
You're not representing the Air Force here today.
No, that's
you're representing
correct.
Your organization.
Yes, yes.
And there are lots of things that you can't talk about with regard to what's going on at Scott. But can you give us some sense of and Raymond, I'll put this one too, some sense of the commitment, let me put it that way, to fend off hackers there? Because thinking of hackers getting into that operation over there is very concerning.
So I actually double checked and looked up what was published before we came.
Good.
And so there is a joint publication out that talks about the National Cyber Mission Forces, and in that document, which is again public, it talks about a couple of those cyber protection teams, which are an element of that cyber mission force, mm-hmm. standing up at Scott. So the point here is that we are progressing, we are making strides in the military. And it's more about let's stop focusing on protecting everything. Let's find the things that we care about. And this is true for everybody, right? So at home, you have a bank account and you have an email address, and then you have your Twitter and your Facebook. And if you prioritize those based on what's more important to you, like your money's probably pretty important to you, then you can focus on protecting those and not worry so much about if your Facebook or Twitter gets hacked.
I would have to think, though, again, and I understand and appreciate your inability to get into much detail, that if at a military installation, that the protection would have to be extraordinarily sophisticated just by virtue of what it is and the protection that's necessary. I mean, it's more than just protecting a password.
That it is. There's highly sensitive assets that need protected every day.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. There's the 24th Air Force is Air Force Cyber, you know, so we have a whole numbered Air Force that devoted to computer network defense. So we focus a lot of energy. And in fact, part of the cyber mission construct, there were 60-some hundred jobs within the DoD that are standing up. And this at a time when we're cutting everything, right? So we're adding jobs to cyber where we're removing them from other things. So there's definitely a demonstrated need.
Is it more difficult to protect from foreign hackers? We hear about the Chinese. We hear about the Russians. Is it more difficult to protect against them than it would be domestically, do you think?
The internet is a ever-growing and ever-changing environment. There's no difference in an attack coming from domestic than there is from it coming overseas. Every vector provides its own unique challenges. And, we're training hard to meet those challenges.
It's a tough challenge. These folks are pretty sophisticated, obviously. I mean, they seem to have the capacity to get into a lot of very, very sensitive areas within the government itself.
Right, right. So, yeah, and that's kind of what Raymond was talking about.
I want to talk about
sure.
putting it on a personal level in a moment. But first, let's take a call from Phil. He's calling us from Baldwin. Has an interesting perspective here. Go ahead, Phil. You're on the air.
Yeah, I heard two news stories that are relevant to your conversation. About a year ago, especially if you go to Sophos.com, which is a security website, they sell a program for your computer. But the hackers can go into any computer store, well, maybe not any, maybe specialized computer stores, and buy off-the-shelf hardware that can guess passwords, no matter how strong or long they are, at the most in 6 hours. And that about a year ago, also in the national news, it was found out that the security codes for launching the missiles used a factory set numbers of 000. Nobody changed the settings.
Okay, thanks for the call. We've got it, Phil. Thanks for the call. Paul?
So I can't comment on the missile. It's news to me, too. But as far as the hardware goes, cracking a password is simpler than that. It's all software, right? So it doesn't matter if there's hardware sold down the street or, you know, in China or wherever. One could easily write a piece of software that would guess millions of passwords a second. So what we are doing on the security side is making the process that happens after you type that password in harder. So it takes the computer longer to do. So it'll take any computer longer to do.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what individuals can do. Raymond, I'll go to you. Let's keep it simple. We'll get away from the government and the military for a while. And my apologies for putting you in a position of having to deal
please.
With that. But let's talk about, you know, what's the best advice with regard to passwords? We all have them, and many people use the word password as their password, I know, and have other very unsophisticated means of doing it. What's the best advice you can get?
So a lot of people still use passwords. Passwords are bad to use. Use a passphrase, something that's unique to your life, because attackers will use a thing called a rainbow table to try to brute force their way into cracking what your password is. And if you're using a passphrase that's unique to your life, it's not going to be on that rainbow table. It's going to be a lot harder for the attacker to try to break into what you are trying to protect and what you hold dear to yourself. It could be something as simple as, my dog's name is Rover and he's 8 years old.
But I'll just interrupt you there to say, I don't want to sit down and have to type all of that to get into my bank account.
Well, taking those extra couple seconds to type in a passphrase that you can easily remember because of it being unique to your life will help you defend your assets a lot better than password 123. I mean, if you really hold an item dear to you and you really want that item protected, it's good for you to implement a passphrase rather than a password.
Right. So there are certain ways steps you can take to avoid having to log in all the time. You can set up alerts, and that's a unidirectional. So it pushes to you, and so you get the alert, so you don't have to log in to see that. So then you don't have to worry so much about your bank account being hacked. You know, you log in every once in a while to check it. But what Raymond was talking about, so every letter you add, it's pretty simple math. So, you know, your first character, there are 26 or, you know, maybe 36 possible if you're just talking lowercase and numbers. If you add an uppercase, you're talking 66, right? 50, 62.
We'll take your word for it.
Right. So every letter after that you add is multiplying the number of passwords that you would have to guess by that number. So to go from 6 characters to 9 characters is a pretty big difference. 9 to 10 is an even bigger difference. And then every character you add after that is just huge. So if it's a sentence, even if they're all lowercase characters, no numbers, no special characters, you're making it to the point where a hacker would have to have years and years and years to hack.
This is the most basic security step that any one of us can take.
Right.
What about using more than one password or password phrase?
Never use the same password twice.
So,
a lot of users make that mistake. If the attacker knows one password and use that password for everything, then the attacker has the keys to your entire kingdom. This has been seen in hacks and companies before, where an attacker will use one password, and that password will then allow them to access every other database that this company has because they think it was a good idea to use one password for everything.
So real quick, I'll just add that, you know, so it is protecting what you care about. So the bank account, use a different password. But on your Facebook, your Twitter, things that it doesn't matter if someone logs into, go ahead and use that favorite password because you're not necessarily concerned about what's going on.
Make the judgment on the basis of how valuable that site is. Okay, only about 40 seconds left. Your event is going to be held, it's going to be held on the 25th and 26th.
That's correct.
Very quickly, where and who can come and take part?
So it's open to anyone. It's free for our MCPA members locally. Membership eligibility criteria are veterans, currently active duty, government employees. So if you fit one of those criteria, go to milcyber.org and apply for application into the association, and then we'll give you a coupon code. But everybody else, $5.
We'll put a link to your milcyber.org on our website. Sure. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. Learned a lot today, and hopefully you'll go home and change a few passwords.
Thanks
come
for having
up, us. Come up with a few phrasers. That's Lieutenant Paul Jordan joining us from Scott Air Force Base, as does Sergeant Raymond Evans, members of the organization Military Cyber Professionals. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks
Good luck at your event over the weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for us for today. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with Philip White about his book examining President Harry Truman's whistle-stop tour in the summer and fall of 1948 and its role in his election victory. We'll also put the entire Truman presidency into some perspective. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. The program is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.